Hey, how you doing? Thanks for downloading the show. Welcome to Garden Fork Radio. My name is Eric. I talk about what I hope are interesting, eclectic DIY things. Today, Rick is here. We're going to talk about the new electric car I just bought.
Good morning, my friend. How are you this morning? I am so excited about your new purchase.
Yeah, I've finally become an adult. I've never owned a new car in my life. I've always bought...
Go ahead.
Used fixer-uppers and...
Yeah. Isn't it terrifying? I mean, you know, now,
yes.
You know, I bet you drove like most New Yorkers.
I did not. I drove it from Long Island back into Brooklyn, and usually I have my other car is a 10-year-old car, and I'm like, yeah, go ahead, hit me. And
yeah,
exactly. Now I'm like, Don't hit me.
Don't get close to me. Why are you honking? I'll go as soon as it's clear.
Oh, that's funny. It's the one thing I don't like about the car is there is delay in the horn.
Oh, really? Well, boy,
when you press the horn button, there's a delay and then it goes beep.
Yeah.
And I like a little double tap is a friendly honk.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if it can do a correct double tap. But anyway, the camera operator and I have been saving money for 4 or 5 years now. We don't carry any debt except our mortgage. When we want to buy something, we save our money for it. And
good on you.
We decided to buy an electric car. I wanted one like 4 or 5 years ago. I'm like, we'll save our money. And we found the Volkswagen ID.4. It got a lot of good reviews online. And I mean, some of them were like, there's some videos out there like 10 bad things about the ID.4. And that's just people trying to get clickbait kind of stuff. Like we considered the Tesla, but I just felt that was a hey, look at me car, and it was more expensive. And for the space I needed for the Labradors and me hauling tools and lumber and supplies, Volkswagen ID.4 fit the bill. So we put down a deposit in the beginning to the middle of the pandemic. We put down a deposit, and you could build it online on the Volkswagen site. And it was pretty neat. So I thought I'd just kind of walk through the process of it, and then you can interject as you like.
Okay. Well, let's get the details out of the way first. My first thought was, you're doing street parking in New York City. How are you charging it?
Oh, there are... As a part of a pilot program, New York City and Con Ed have installed on-street car chargers in my neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
And the biggest problem is cars that aren't electric are parking there because parking is so hard here. Right. But I actually reached out to our local NYPD police precinct, and they are on top of it. The precinct commander called me. Hey, Eric. I can't remember the gentleman's name. Inspector. I don't want to mangle his name. Anyway, my jaw was dropping because it said NYPD on the phone, you know. And he said, look, for us, this is all new because we don't know what law to cite when writing the ticket for someone blocking the electric car chargers.
Ah, and what is the charge?
Well, he was great. He said, I'm going to talk to my legal team and get back to you. And within a week, he did. And I got this email from the legal department that CC'd him as well and like 10 other NYPD officials and said, we've found the legislation that allows us to ticket these vehicles. We will do that. We have asked the Department of Transportation to provide better signage to inform people that they can't park here. And now there still are... politely call unpleasant people blocking those chargers, but less so. On alternates, on street cleaning days, basically, because I work from home, I can pick a street cleaning day to charge my car. So one day a week, the left or the right side of your street has to be cleared of cars so the sweeper can go down.
Right.
And on that street, I think it's Tuesdays until 11:30. So at 11:15, I'm just going to drive over there and drop my car and plug it in for 6 hours or whatever the charging time takes.
Yeah.
And then go back and work and then set my timer and come back and get it. Plus, there are more and more parking lot chargers in my neighborhood. They are Tesla chargers at the Big Atlantic Mall at Flatbush and 4th Avenue. And Tesla is going to allow their Class 2 chargers to be used by other brands of cars. There are, it's called Charge America Chargers down at Industry City, which they have a big parking lot. So there's more and more of them coming.
Okay.
Well, and then, my, go ahead.
How many?
I'll just finish about the charging.
Please,
let me just finish about the charging.
Finish the charging. Yeah.
And because we have a little house upstate, my neighbor is an electrician, and he wired my garage for what's called a juice box brand charger, which we've ordered, which is a rebate for. I'll talk about all the rebates in a little bit. So we'll drive up to the little house, charge it fully, and then when we drive back down, I'll just have to charge it a little bit because the car has a 270-mile range, and our little house is about 140 miles away.
Yeah. 270. That is superb. That's superb.
Right.
You know, on my Prius Prime, which only has a 30-mile electric charge.
Right.
It's still, most weeks, I don't ever touch the battery or hardly touch the battery.
The gasoline.
Yeah, the gasoline. We're just, run to the store, run to the commissary, the exchange or something, or get a haircut. And so actually the 30 miles is not bad, considering the way we drive, in an urban or suburban kind of environment. And so 200, you said 70? That's amazing.
275 miles, yeah.
Yeah, 275.
I mean, your driving habits can reduce that. Like, mm-hmm. if you like to floor it, it's not going to do that.
Have you floored this car yet?
Yeah, I did on the Long Island Expressway. If people, that's 495 on Long Island.
Have you ever floored
it? It'll merge.
No, go ahead.
Oh, from the get-go? From a dead start, you mean?
Just standing. Yeah.
No, I live in an urban area. I don't really have a place to do that.
I understand on a lot of electric cars, we can do it on our Prime if I'm, kind of fast at it. I can actually smoke the wheels a little bit. I mean, the acceleration.
That'll be interesting.
Amazing.
Yeah. When we go to the country, maybe I'll try it. There are a couple of straight roads that there aren't any people on them, so I could try it. But I want this car to last, so I'm going to be nice to it.
Yeah. Well, do it while it's in warranty,
So the order process is very interesting. We ordered it on the Volkswagen site. I wanted an all-wheel drive version, so that made the price higher, but we are in a snowy area. And the all-wheel drive version had a trailer hitch built in, which was really nice.
Oh, yeah.
And then throughout the process, we had to first put down $100. Then when they were actually going to build the car in Germany, we had to put down an additional $400. And we would get updates throughout the process. Several updates weren't the best news. They basically said, hey, because of the pandemic, we're having some supply problems. And then the war in Ukraine, they said, not unfortunately, but some of the parts for your car are made in Ukraine. So that is delaying it also. I believe that's what they said. Yeah. And it took about a year from ordering it to getting it. And then I thought it wouldn't come for another 6 to 9 months. And all of a sudden, my salesperson, Manny Lucas at Platinum VW, calls me and says, your car's here.
I read recently that the Cooper Mini is so backed up that to keep their customers a little satisfied, they've sent them these full-size garage floor jigsaw puzzles of Cooper Mini to put together to be in that place.
Volkswagen was very good about
Mini
it.
Cooper,
Yeah. My biggest fear was I had, I joined a site called VWIDtalk.com to learn more about the car. And I had been reading on like Jalopnik and other car sites about dealers adding on a markup. And we talked about this with your car. Right. And so I posted on VWIDtalk.com. I said, hey, in the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut area, is there a dealer that won't charge a markup, a Volkswagen dealer? Because I went to my local dealer, I won't say who that was, VW dealer, and I said, how much is the car going to cost? And they said, we can't tell you that. Well, we don't know what the market. And I'm like, okay, yeah, great. And the problem is it's only 20 blocks from my house. So I'm like, okay. Oh. And so I went on VWIDtalk.com and I posted this. I said, is there a dealer in the it's called the tri-state area, that won't charge a markup? And within a couple hours, Manny Lucas from Platinum VW in Hicksville, Long Island, responds to me and says, we're not charging a markup. Wow. And so then I emailed him and then I called him. He's a straight shooter. There was none of this upsell. He's just like, look, you know, we're here for you. I'll send you an email that confirms we're not charging a markup. And so I, online, I switched the dealer, the destination dealer, to Platinum VW in Hicksville. And it was a little bit of a, I had to use the online chat with someone helping me to change that dealer location. And just be careful if you're doing this with any one of the brands. If you wait for too long in the process, like the destination's already, they're already on a trailer or something, or it's already on the boat, I don't think you can switch the dealer.
Yeah, well,
but that's a little late. And then I went, and then Manny, he says, hey, your car's here. He sent me the invoice. It was detailed. It showed all the expenses. And you kind of forget about there's taxes on a bajillion-dollar car. You know, and they had to charge a couple of fees, but there weren't any like giant $3,000, $4,000 markups. There was a tire return fee, which they have. These are all like state required fees, a registration fee. They went and got the license plates for me, and that was like $200, and that was well worth my time.
Yeah.
And a couple others. And it was just the most pleasant transaction. We just sat in his office, and I was having flashbacks to a movie, if you remember, called Fargo.
Oh, yeah.
Where the salesman goes into the manager's office at the car dealer, and they're messing with the customer. And I worked on that movie, by the way. But anyway, it was nothing like that. It was me and Manny talking about the Netflix documentary Formula One, which we both really liked. And we both said, it's because of that documentary we watch Formula One now. So it was just like... I brought a bank check. The bank check matched the number he had. You know, he gave me the number the day before.
Right.
It was the most unhassled purchase ever.
Wow.
So it was nice.
That's terrific.
So if you're in the tri-state area, Manny Lucas at Platinum VW, I asked him if he would be on the podcast, and he said, yeah. So we'll get him on one day.
Okay. So why aren't you talking to him instead of me?
Because I'm spontaneous and you said yes.
I'm easy.
No, I wanted to hear your voice, sir.
Oh, yeah. Nice save. Well, good on you. I am so glad you did it.
It feels a little weird. I've never owned a new car in my life. And I've never spent that much money on a car. That car cost... almost, it cost half of what our little house upstate cost, you know?
Yes. I mean,
but it's not like we were really wealthy. We've just, the houses we bought, we were lucky because we timed the market. We bought both houses during a recession. We made money on our previous sales of houses. And with the car, we have a automatic deduction from our checking account goes into a savings account every month. And it's just, we don't even see it. I mean, it's on the statement, but X amount of dollars every month goes into our savings fund. And then we have a second fund, which is our emergency fund. If we got laid off from our jobs, we would have like 6 months of money to pay for stuff. But so we basically have two savings account, and the second one was for the car. And then we had the money, and then I was like, okay, we can buy the car now. So,
wow. Excellent. You know, we do.
Can I talk about?
No, talk about what?
No, do you do those savings things you're going to say?
Oh, yeah. We do those saving things all the time. We've had a rather recent large purchase. I think we talked about
it. We're going to talk about in the future.
Yeah, on the after show, but we'll mention it again here soon. But if it'll ever get here. But yeah, we do that. All our money goes into one big account. You know, from retirement and Social Security and all that stuff we got. And then we, from that, we have several smaller accounts set up and we do an automatic transfer from that big account. So we can always see where the big pot of money is, how things are going in.
Yep.
And then send it out to the others, but we never touch it. We don't have to do anything. We don't have to remember it. We're never tempted that way to do something really stupid. Like spend all that, you know, spend it, but, it's worked for us and it's a good way to, you know, if you can put away even, you know, like $100 a month or something that really adds up after a while. If you're you know, going towards something big.
Totally. So why buy an electric car? Right. So
first of all,
I'm very concerned about the climate crisis and my carbon footprint in it. And I'm like, okay, we've been driving a gas car 140 miles on a lot of weekends. And I'm like, you know, is that really necessary? And I was attracted. I have always been a fanboy of solar power and not using fossil fuels. And when we decided that we were going to need a new car, the electric thing popped up right away. And some advantages, everyone seems to get their head wrapped around the mileage in the battery, you know, 275 miles or 90 miles or whatever. And most people like Rick, like yourself, drive 30 to 40 miles a day. So I think that should just go out the window. Yeah. But the other benefit, which no one seems to realize, is the incredibly lower cost of maintenance.
Right. Oh yeah.
There is one or two electric motors in your electric car. We have an all-wheel drive car, so there's a front motor and a back motor. If you only have front wheel drive or rear wheel drive, there's one motor. It's electric. It doesn't need oil. It doesn't need gas. It doesn't need all this pollution control. It doesn't need a muffler. It doesn't need a catalytic converter that gets stolen in Brooklyn. That's a big thing here right now.
Yeah, it's a big thing here.
So your maintenance is, I'm guessing, 80% less. I could be wrong. You're going to need to buy tires, but you're never going to worry whether your car is going to pass the state emissions test again, you know? And some OHV lanes, you know, those vehicle lanes where you get to set aside, where you get to bypass all the traffic, your electric car can qualify for some of those HOV lanes, not OHV, HOV lanes. So something to think about. There is a state rebate and a federal rebate right now. The New York state rebate is $2,000. The federal rebate varies depending on the kilowatt level rating of your battery. It's up to $7,500. And I think we qualify for the full $7,500 if I double checked.
Right.
So that lowers the price down $9,500. And that made it a lot more attractive. Yeah, the sales tax, you know, it hurts, but, you know, we gotta pay for the government to go.
Well,
I also
do want to have roads, don't you?
Right. We have to pay for the roads.
Yeah.
And I also wanted a new car with essentially all the automatic pillows if you get in a car accident, you know? It just is like
yes.
It has some bells and whistles. What attracted me to the Tesla was it has what it's called parking lot dog mode. I'm paraphrasing that. But you know, there's times where I wanted to go to the grocery store and I'm like, oh, I can't because I have the dogs in the car, because there's no way I'll leave them in the car in a hot parking lot. And the Tesla has, pretty sure it's a button that just says dog parking lot mode. The Volkswagen has it. It just doesn't have a fun name. It's called auxiliary cooling mode. And you you turn off the car, which is, by the way, we'll talk about some of the buttons and stuff. And then you just hit auxiliary cool and for how long you want the car to stay cool. So you could set it for 3 hours. And then, of course, you're going to come back within that time. And you'll have to put some signs in the window saying electric car, air conditioned, do not call police, because people will, thankfully, break they do glass. Do that. You know, hey, these dogs are in the car. And it has some other bells and whistles, but, you know, a lot of that after I've only driven it one day, but I was like, oh, it does this, it does this. And some of that stuff is nice, but I don't need it. I did like, I double parked the car. And when you double park in New York, you have to pull your car up within inches of the cars that are parked, or else the other cars can't get past you. And the I don't know, it was a collision alarm or a spatial alarm was going beep, 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 with all these. It showed an image of the car with these, it kind of was like Star Trek showing these areas that were basically this other car's way too close to you.
Right. Yeah.
And that was nice, but it has that kind of charging your phone where you don't have to plug it in. You just put it in this little pocket. It's just little stuff like that I liked.
Yeah. Little things. Our Prime has a, automatic air conditioning where you can leave the car and hit a button and it will leave the air conditioning on, because electric cars have electric air conditioning. It's like a window mount sort of. And so,
yeah, it sticks out the side of the window.
Yeah. But you know, so we, you know, I run to the store for something and leave the dogs in the car. You know, I have a little sign that I stick up says, you know, it's, you know, we have electric air conditioning. The dogs are fine, but thank you for looking, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh, that's nice to say. Thank you for looking. I like that.
Yeah. Or thank you for being concerned or something, but it's the whole idea of it is, I think just wonderful. One of the reasons we have been involved in, you know, really insulating the house, super insulating the house, it reducing our energy footprint as much as we can, which includes the Priuses, is I decided a long time ago, you can either play someone else's game or you can change the game. And I'm just changing the game. You know, we're not standing in line. You know, when gas prices go up, you know, it's fine. We spend more, even at $5 a gallon, we spend more on coffee each month than we do on gasoline.
Yes, I remember that phrase.
Yeah. But, you know, they're crazy about, you know, toilet paper. We put in bidets. You know, just change the game. Don't play the stupid games. And this is the future. And I know people have range anxiety. What they've had a lot of experience with electric cars in Europe, particularly the Netherlands. And of course, they have better rail transport there. But what a lot of people do is if they're taking a long trip, they'll just rent a car for a long trip. Rent a gasoline car for a long, long trip. And I think that's a good way to get over range anxiety. Or some people, most people probably in suburban areas, a family has two cars and, you know, you can have one like the Prius Prime and then you can have a fully electric car. If I could have found a fully electric car, that we could afford, at the time we were buying that I had to buy, we kind of ran out of options. I would have bought one. Just to have a fully electric car, you plug it in. It's great for running around. You can get a couple hundred miles on it. And then the Prius Prime, still good for running around for 30 miles. And then it switches to the hybrid mode and you're still getting 55 miles to the gallon. And that's a good way to go about it. But there are just other ways of, you know, the new Ford, the electric Ford 150.
Yes, the new truck.
The new truck actually will allow you to take that battery and power your house or power equipment on a job site instead of running a generator. So if the power goes out at your house, you can actually reverse feed your battery into yes. your household current. And I think I just love those kind of solutions. I think they're just brilliant.
Yeah, that's the future. Interesting side note to that, with the in Connecticut, where our little house is, we have a garage, and Eversource is the electric provider, and they have a rebate. They have a two-prong rebate program. First, if you buy a smart level two, class two charger, which means it's Wi-Fi enabled, it can connect to the Wi-Fi. The one we bought is highly rated. It's $700, but the electric utility will give you a rebate, I think, for almost half of it, I think, with the understanding that you Wi-Fi enable, it's called a juice box, and uh-huh. you enable it, you enable the Eversource to access the charger. And if ever they have, they're about to experience a brownout or a blackout in your area, they can turn off your car charger.
Right.
And I think, you know, that's just fine. Because
yeah, the storage has always been the big problem with utility grade power, is how do you yeah. store it? Because, you know, essentially you generate it and you use it or lose it. And if you store it in a car battery, it's possible through cooperative educate our cooperative systems and, you know, electronics built into the systems to store power in your home power bank, you know, like the Tesla
in your garage bank,
in your garage, or store power in car batteries all over the city. And then if there yep. is a brownout, they can pull like 10-15% from each of those batteries and put it back into the grid, which is yep. something they can't do normally. And people say, well, I don't want the utility company having, you know, the ability to shut me off or take my power and that kind of stuff. But it, you know, if you're going to have a brownout, this, your power is going to be off regardless. And so, you know, it's just a different way of looking at how power is distributed and how you store it. And storage is the next great thing to be overcome in this whole battery yeah. business.
If you have a brownout in your area, it can ruin all the electronics in your house.
Oh yeah.
I've seen it happen. I've seen yeah. generators, on-demand generators, you know, whole house generators do a brownout and it fries the TV and the microwave and the oven. And but that whole idea, I think this is what Eversource is working up to, is right now we make an agreement with them that if there's going to be a brownout, if we happen to be charging the car at that moment, they can turn off the charger, and that's all they can do. Right. And so there's a two-prong thing. First, they give you a rebate on the charging, the gizmo, the juice box. And then every year, they give you a small rebate just for participating in the program that allows them to turn off your charger. And my good friend who lives in the same town, and I helped install his, he has the same charger, juice box. He said they've never turned off his charger in the 5 years he's had his car.
Wow. So, yeah. You know, neat. Just there's smart things, you know, this is literally the smart grid. So I'm thrilled to see it.
Yeah. Now my next challenge is, cause I have 18 solar panels on my roof in Brooklyn. Can I get a dedicated parking space and charging station right in front of my house?
Yeah. Yeah. I want to see how that works.
It's not going
city,
to,
but yeah, city permitting is going to be tough on that one.
I do have a couple neighbors who have the Mini Cooper Countryman, mm-hmm. it's called the Everyman, or, yeah. and that is a battery motor, battery and gasoline, like a Prius Prime. And they literally put an extension cord across the sidewalk with a little bit of one of those rubber cord mm-hmm. hider things, yeah. and they charge their car.
Well, that's one and way I'm to like, do it.
Wow.
That seems a little intrusive, and I'm sure the city would get them eventually, but yeah, that's one way to do it. You know, one thing I do want to recognize, you know, we're speaking pretty much from a point of privilege here, and we realize that not everyone yes. can afford to do the things we're doing, but it's kind of like personal computers. When I was I policed from what, 76 to 86. Sometime back in there, I started running into you go to people's houses and you're shaking the doors because you're doing an out of town check or something, and you make sure the place is secure. You find that open door and you wander around, and you know, they got this great big house and they got these, you know, these suitcase sized portable computers, like the Compaq. I remember that one.
Yeah.
Has a little 5-inch screen, you know. And I was so jealous, you know, because I wanted something like that. And it's always people that can afford things like this that lead the way, but they make it possible for the rest of us today, some 20 years later, to have a small, affordable personal computer in our pocket, in every pocket almost.
Yeah.
And I think that's, somebody's got to lead the way. And I know it's expensive. I know a lot of people can't do it. And I've been green with envy of watching these Tesla guys. Although there is a great video on YouTube. I've been getting back into flying. I think I've mentioned on another podcast, but this guy, Tesla has the self-driving parking lot mode. Where you summons your car and it fires up from its parking place and drives over to you. And he summons his car out onto the ramp where he parked his $3 million Vision jet. And the Tesla drove right into the tail of his plane and pushed it around. And there was a little bit of Schadenfreude there when I saw that, you know. that was pretty funny. But
Oops.
But yeah, I realize that a lot of people can't afford things. You know, one of the things that I have a friend that bought another Prime recently, and he was complaining about all the automatic stuff on the car. And he says, I don't need this. I don't want that. I don't want that. And I said, but what you're building there really is all the beginnings of self-driving, you know, where, you know, you were talking about your perimeter alarms and it's letting you know when, you know, people are too close. The blindside mirrors is, you know, checking that. That's what all those little dots down low on the side of your car and around the bumpers are your sensors. And, you know, our radar cruise control that slows down and adjusts the traffic. I have a camera behind the mirror looking forward on the rearview mirror, looking forward through the windshield, that reads street signs and reads speed limit signs. And let me know what the speed limit is. All this stuff is building, rear passing, you know, cars coming across traffic and that kind of stuff. All that stuff is building to fully automated self-driving cars. And I love having it on my car because we're getting older. And okay, you know, that rear cross traffic has saved my butt backing out of parking spaces two or three times now.
Smart. When I'm driving my car, there's a display right through the steering wheel that shows the speed limit of the area of the highway, part of the highway I'm in. And it comes up as a little speed limit sign.
Right. Yeah. It looks like the speed limit sign you see on the side of the road.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah,
white with black lettering in my case, same style letters. And so, you know, it lets you know. And then if you're more, you can set this limit in the settings, but if you're more than 10 miles over that speed limit, then it turns red. And so it's giving you at least a chance before you do something really expensive.
Yeah. Oops.
Yeah.
Well, cool. I think that was enough of a digest. Just to kind of put the idea in people's heads. If you want to talk to me more about this, anyone, it's radio@gardenfork.tv. I'm happy to talk to you about it, answer whatever I can for you guys. What do you think, Rick?
If you want to talk to me about these experiences, just ask Eric. So yeah. Yeah, don't bother me. I was just looking.
No, here, I'll loop you in. You'll see what it's like to get an email from Rick. Okay. Yeah. Which is like you kind of look, you're hiding your eyes and then you slowly look at it. I'd love to hear your questions, your experiences. A couple people have emailed me about their electric cars, and I've digging for those emails now, because we're going to have an electric car series here, because we'll gush about it.
Oh, those emails are lost forever. People write back. Yeah. Don't count on Eric to find your email.
Anyway, so Rick and I are going to stick around for the after show.
Okay.
We'll discuss the off-topic things there. But thank you, everyone, for listening. Radio@GardenFork.tv. If you're interested in the after show, there's information about becoming a supporter of Garden Fork Radio below. Go out and do cool stuff and make it a great day. Thank you very much.